Brian just goes running straight at me. He looks at me and he smiles, flicks the ball with his hand. The ball spins in the air, but I was transfixed on Brian. I sat back going, that's skill level. I've never seen that.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Racing Pod
on Off the Ball
with William Hill. Best odds guaranteed on all Irish and UK racing. 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
Welcome to episode 44 of the Racing Pod on Off the Ball with John Duggan and Johnny Ward. Remember, we're here every week with analysis, race previews, tips, stories, interviews, and the crack. The first half of the pod each week is free to air. The second half is exclusively for members, so be sure to sign up by going to offtheball.com/join. And this week for members, we'll focus on Saturday's action at Newmarket. So subscribe now. Johnny, how are you? I believe you're in the Stowell today.
I am indeed, JD. The first time I'm staying over in Listowel. I'm back in Kerry for the two-day meeting next week. But yeah, Listowel, it's actually the sun is shining, as you might see. A lot of non-runners here today, and we've seen at Newmarket with the ground change and a lot of non-runners. But looking forward to Listowel. Cracking, obviously very unique place as well, unique festival. And the last 2 days I'll be there.
And on Wednesday, Florian Porter wiped the floor with them in the Kerry National. A one-horse race, Johnny.
Yeah, JD, I mean, I don't know if I've ever been as disappointed after a race for not backing a horse. Like, and I kind of go into these competitive jumps handicaps with the sort of impression that they're difficult to solve. This race wasn't difficult to solve, and I put up Solitary Man. He didn't run at all well, but if you looked at this, Florian Porter, who was basically a favourite in his last hurdle run to win a Grade One, running against handicappers, has to go left-handed at a track that was definitely going to suit if you got into a rhythm. Laid out the race by Gavin Cromwell, and I'd no bet on it, and I was gutted. I was really disappointed that I didn't have a bet. But congratulations to Connections. You know, they bought him for what was it, $5,000. And these are the stories that we need more of in jumps race. We're going to talk about Cheltenham, but I don't know what you meant about JD, but the race was over at halfway.
Once he went off in front and wasn't stopping, I said, this is done. I had Churchstone Warrior. I backed him each way and he was fourth, so I was happy out. But no, it was a one-horse race. It was 4.5 lengths or something. Well, it could have been 400 lengths, to be honest. And Ruby Walsh was just saying after the race and like that, almost the ratings, whatever, he was talking about the ratings, that this was a Grade One stairs hurdle winner against horses that were nowhere in his league.
100%. The first four horses in the race were kind of Grade One horses in some shape or form in their day, but Zanahir has his limitations. The real whacker, obviously, he didn't have a good day, but he's questions to answer. But Florian Porter, like Gavin Cromwell, brilliant target trainer. They've kept him for the race. And like he was back, he was like 7 or 8 to 1. Like, we're not talking about a horse here, the 5 to 2 favourites. He went off, what, 5 to 1 or 6 to 1. But like, in hindsight, this was just, granted, things could have gone wrong, but this was the most obvious race, the most obvious kind of horse to back in a competitive handicap chase that I've seen. And I didn't back him because I didn't have this idea that I could pick the winner of the race. And I had other things to do during the week, but hopefully I won't make that mistake again.
Have you been at John B. Keynes yet, have you?
I haven't. I'm going to make my debut there later on, I think, JD. I've heard a lot about it. I don't know if you've been there.
Never been to Listowel in my life. So not this year, obviously. Maybe next year. Pat Healy might sort us out.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. And Dundalk is on as well after the stall today. So like it's kind of a busy weekend of racing. So I'm really looking forward to the banter and meeting a few of the local journalists, writers and all of that.
Okay, we're recording this when you're in the Kingdom on Friday. And there are changes to the Cheltenham race programme, as we said, for 2025, Johnny, after criticism of the festival last season. So just to go through them, we've got alterations, including the abolition of the Golden Miller Novices Chase in place of a handicap that was known as the Turner's Chase. The cross-country chase has turned into a limited handicap now. Runners and non-novice handicaps will require more experience, maybe to prevent big trainers throwing in novices and winning. Are these changes designed to make Cheltenham more competitive? What are your thoughts? Is it just window dressing, or is it going to actually make a difference?
Yeah, window dressing, or like, you know, trying repainting the house with a really bad foundation, or repainting the car that the engine is faulty. And like, Cheltenham was worrying this year, JD, really worrying, far too many odds on favourites. First of all, forget about these stupid changes that they're making, little changes to races, which in themselves might have some merit. Get rid of the mayor's races, get rid of one or two other races, and go back to 3 days and compress the Grade One action. That's what you do. Go back to 3 days. The four-day thing doesn't work anymore, if it ever worked. There are far too many races for the big trainers to dominate in. And like, these changes to the novices, amateur riders race, you know, it's just, they've made so many changes to the race. I think Chris Cook has a very good article in the Racing Post about that. It's just like, you're not really getting to the crux of the issue here. Jumps racing in Britain is in a difficult position because it's very expensive to have horses in training. And people are just getting out of having jumps horses in Britain for whatever reason. Now, the prize money is not that great over here. And jumps racing in Ireland is not in a great place because a lot of owners are getting out as well because of the domination of one or two yards. And ultimately, this will do next to nothing to change that. To go back to 3 days, get rid of the mayor's race, get rid of one or two more races, and everything will be fine.
Well, that's never going to happen because of money. So it's more profitable to have 4 days. It's more profitable to have 27 races or 28 when it's fully loaded as opposed to 20, which was the best thing in the before 2005. You 20 races over 3 days, you really top quality racing at Cheltenham, but the horse is bolted, excuse the pun. I've got a few thoughts on this, Johnny. I feel Cheltenham, and I've been for 22 years, I wasn't allowed to go in 2021 because of the COVID issue, but I don't feel it's been the same since the COVID week of 2020. Now, that's not the fault of the racecourse now. It just, at the time, it was caught up in a very worrying, uncertain, panic situation. And I just don't know. I haven't felt the same vibe since I've gone back. Maybe that's just me personally. Another thing about it, Cheltenham has always been about the Irish versus the English and the Irish challenge, and jockeys coming in with the tricolour and small yards, and it being the underdog, like horses from small yards, like Tom Foley and Donoghue going over in the 1990s and everybody being on him and winning, or Doran's Pride or Imperial Call, or these horses. In the last, I don't know, maybe 10 years, Ireland's horses have dominated Cheltenham. Of the 27 winners this year, 18 were Irish trained. That's 2/3. And then of the 27, 1/3 of them were trained by Willie Mullins. And you got Gordon Elliott and Henry de Bromhead. And it's no fault of theirs that they want to win, obviously. But Willie reached 100 winners last season at Cheltenham. And this whole idea of us being the non-favourite against the English has been turned on its head, and it's now routine that there's Irish winners because Irish jumps racing is so dominant. So the romance has gone out of it, and that's another huge part of what Cheltenham has lost.
Oh, everything you say there is correct. And you know, I used to cheer on the Irish winners like with real abandon, and there was a bit of patriotism there. And you know, now you're kind of just hoping that it's not a bloodbath for the British. And you know, the fact that Richie Forrester wrote about this in Race Post as well, the fact that if you're an owner of Willie Mullins, he can say, well, should we'll try and do our best basically to run our horses apart at Cheltenham. Cheltenham shouldn't be like that. And it's gotten to the stage where Paul Nicholls is actively avoiding Cheltenham because he doesn't think he's much of a chance. I think some of the British trainers need to look at that. It's still Cheltenham, but I you know, just the whole real, the atmosphere was relayed to me this year that it was quite underwhelming. And like racing in general, like, so a lot of race meetings are struggling in terms of the lively atmosphere that you had. But Cheltenham, for me, this was a year when they really, really needed to do something to fix it. And I don't feel the changes they've made go nearly far enough for that.
And obviously, I mean, look at all events in the UK and around the world. Pints are expensive, but £7.80 for Guinness as well, I don't think it's going to necessarily attract that many people.
That's the other thing, JD. Like, it's there is a cost of living crisis in Britain. A lot of racegoers, they can't afford to go 1 day to Cheltenham, not to mind 4 days. And then you're lumping those prices on them. And I kind of feel the same about you in relation to the pandemic. That Thursday, when was it? Samco won the first race that Thursday. It was a very weird experience and hasn't been the same Cheltenham since.
Yeah, look, got to give them credit for getting it back on the road after the pandemic. But it just, look, it just maybe Cheltenham has got too big for itself in a way, and sometimes you everything has peaks and troughs, and maybe in the next few years it'll regain the luster that it had. But at the moment, it's in a bit of a struggling moment, I feel, and there's no easy fix for it. And I think a lot of it's to do with the fact that Irish horses are so dominant and small yards are so dominant in terms of mapping up most of the races. Let's look ahead to this weekend then, Johnny. The Curra on Saturday, the Goffs 500 at 2 o'clock, and then you got the Goffs Million. Now, explain this to me, because we talk about prize money. I'd be looking on a Saturday and going, Irish prize money, well, it's this or it's that, and maybe you might compare unfavourably to English prize money. But at the Curra on Saturday, the Goffs 500, for the winner, it gets €245,000. These are all two-year-old horses. And then the Goffs Million, €495,000. That seems very excessive to me, but is there a reason for it?
Yeah, well, the field sizes are worrying here at JD. There's an incentive in this race where you buy a horse, it's obviously the Goff sale that's eligible for the race, but then it costs quite a bit actually to declare the horse at the final stage to run. And a lot of the owners this year obviously have opted out because the runners are disappointing. And like, these races are, they're actually quite forgettable looking at them. I mean, the Goff's Million, you have a horse rate of 100 who's going to be a hot favourite, and a horse as Antelope Canyon, who might be second favourite, who just won a maiden at Nace, and it's not going to get the pulses racing. It'll be probably one rich owner beating another rich owner, and the Goff's will probably have to look at the race this year, because you're supposed to have far bigger turnouts than this, but the cost to actually run a horse in the race on top of the costs of buying the horse and entering them in the first place are quite substantial, and maybe that's why you have a turnout like this. The Goff's Million, and obviously we have the big handicap on Sunday with a big turnout as well, but races like this with the prize money, they're not supposed to have 14 runners, they're supposed to have more like 30 runners, so, and something has failed, and TG Carr showing the race as well, it's I just find it hard to get excited about it.
So the Goff's 500, let's have a look and see if we can identify the winner. By the way, we had a 20-1 winner last week, Lethal Levy in the, what was it, the Ergo Cup, 20-1.
Spurs fan.
Yeah, that was it. So folks, and that was in the member section of the Racing Pod. So folks, we did 20-1 winner last week. You know what to do, subscribe to the Racing Pod now. So have you worked out this Goff's 500, 2 o'clock at the Kerr on Saturday? I went for Nancy J. Might be one of the likelier ones, shown inexperience in two starts, but did win at Goran and might have more to come. Nancy J was the one I liked in the 500. I get it right, the 500.
Yeah, well, William Hill, the first to price up, as I record this, 5-2 Apples and Bananas. I have no problem with Apples and Bananas.
No, that's the million,
price.
Johnny. That's the million.
Sorry, the million. Sorry, we got... So what time are we at, JD?
2 o'clock at the Curra on Saturday, the 500. I'm going for Nancy J.
Yeah, Nancy J has a very solid chance. Whatever about the other race, this is a pretty disappointing renewal, you'd have to say. Like, Nancy J is a horse who, first time out, beat Dignam, who, in fairness, has boosted that form since, and Chantez, that race was solid the last year. It was a very solid run. The ground's going to be kind of maybe yielding something like that. Light and bare for Jack Davison at a price. This horse has been quite slow to develop, JD. This is a nice horse for a nice race for the horse to slot into. I think it was a pretty cheap purchase. And I think the lads from the yard are going off to Vegas after Jack had promised him, if we can get this horse to win, which it did at Down Royal the last year, we're going to go off to Vegas, because he's been tricky enough to get right, but he bolted up the last day. Oxford Rock was second once in, so he'd be a hopeful choice.
Okay, so that's the Goff's 500, 6 furlongs, 10 runners, 2 o'clock at the Curra on Saturday. Johnny, looking for a tentative selection, Lightning Bear, and I'm going for Nancy J. So the Goff's Million is at 3.45 over 7 furlongs, 14 runners. Aidan O'Brien's got Antelope Canyon in this. So that is one to watch, and also Garden of Eden. But money for Apples and Bananas here, won a listed race in France over a mile on his last run. Will 7 furlongs be too sharp? Well, with rain getting into the ground, maybe not. Who's your selection in this one? The Goff's Million.
Yeah, Apples and Bananas. Sorry, I had the wrong race there. Apples and Bananas for me at 5-2 is very, very backward price. Like, I'd be surprised if Anton ran to 100 in this race, which is his rating, and there should be upside. He won the last day in a listed race at Deauville on soft ground. He's quite a straightforward horse. Dropping back to 7 wouldn't be a big issue for me, because his stamina will come into play in the closing stages. He's progressive by Wooten Bassett, who a lot of his horses handled the ground as he did the last day. Really, I mean, most of these horses haven't... like, it's a shoddy renewal of the race, you'd have to say. Like, most of these horses haven't won a race. And we've only 14 to turn out. So it's a bit of a nothing race, really, for the prize money. But I should mention, obviously, Garden of Eden as well, Philly, for Rona Whelan and Aidan O'Brien, who was second to Chantez, formerly like the last of JD. But I'd be with Joseph O'Brien's horse under that man, Dylan Brown.
Okay, that's Apples and Bananas, and it is a 5-2 shot with William Hill. When I was narrowing this down, I had about 5 or 6 of them. It means I probably don't have the answer. But American Bar is not without a chance based on her maiden win at the Stowell. She then flopped in the early stud stakes. She needs to bounce back. Garden of Eden comes into the reckoning after she finished second in the listed race over the distance at Leopardstown on her last run. Nolly Tamer is a well-bred horse, had a Star Spangled Banner who cost €235,000 as a yearling. Just looking at the price of that one is 18-1, the Pogue's price. The one I'm going to go for each way is Valencia. An each way chance after a good run over a mile at Leopardstown. She was also an expensive purchase. So Valencia is the one I'm going to go for, 12-1 each way for Joseph O'Brien, the second string with Chris Hayes on board in the Goff's Million. We also have the Beresford Stakes. This race, Group 2, Johnny, the Curra on Saturday over a mile at 2.35. I actually like the favourite in this one, Hot as Hell, for Jessica Harrington. That has been the plan for this runner. Won a Group 3 over 7 furlongs at Leopardstown. I think a mile will suit. And if there's juice in the ground, Hot as Hell, to me, is the worthy favourite. Do you agree?
don't know what to make the race, to be honest. Like, it is a Group 2, so you're not looking at necessarily the top-class horses. But the Beresford, you know, down the years, has been such a relevant race in terms of proper horses going on to have good careers afterwards. The likes of Saxon Warrior won the race. Japan won the race. Capri, Luxembourg won the race. We've had good winners, but it doesn't seem a great renewal. Trinity College won by 12 lengths at Galway the last day. Absolutely bolted up. He seems to be progressing, JD. He's an amazing pedigree out of Hermosa by Dubawi. Dubawi hasn't really produced any superstars yet for Ballydoyle since the whole sort of Coolmore Sheikh Mohammed freeze was warmed up and they started using their stallions again. Funny Dubawi with all these Galileo bred mares, you think more would have happened. But Trinity College, a tentative vote. Declan McDonough riding Lambourne for Aidan O'Brien, who's a slightly unconventional background himself. And obviously we have the British Raider as well coming over, Windlord, who's also by Dubawi and looked very good at York the last day. But tentative vote for Trinity College. And yeah, he's William Hiller 5-2. So he might get a bit better, but trappy race, not a great renewal of the Beresford.
And then the Listowel, big race on Saturday, soft ground, half four, the Charlie Chute Memorial Handicap Chase, over 2 miles and 6 furlongs this year, 15 runners. Did you pick one out of this?
So many non-runners today. It feels like about a third of the card is gone today. Maybe Good Time Johnny. He's a horse who, he's probably a horse who's had a bit of a colourful background. He ran behind Yates Star the last day at Listowel under Derek O'Connor. We'll need a bit of luck under Dunamiler, but he won't have any issue with the ground. And he's a tentative vote. Fighting fit as well for all that he's top weight. Charlie O'Dwyer claim he's plenty of ability, but tricky renewal of the race over the 2.6.
I like Moon over Clune off 10-12 with the jockey's claim. This is Matthew J. Smith and James Smith riding this one. I ran well over the distance on his
post. I'd have a ground worry for him, JD.
Would you, yeah? Moon over Clune.
Yeah, I think the ground could be soft to heavy, which I'd say he'd prefer a better ground.
Okay, well, that's interesting. Okay, Johnny, make man a double J. What is your selection then? For the free-to-air section of this segment?
Apples and Bananas for me is very solid in an ordinary renewal of the Goff's Million.
Okay, that is the pick for Johnny's Make Man a Double J. I'm going to go through it here and give you one for I'm going to go with Lake Victoria in the Cheveley Park Stakes. The Group 1 for Philly, 6 furlongs at Newmarket on a Saturday, 2.25. Obviously, very good filly. She's been winning at 7 furlongs. She's unbeaten. She won the Moyglare Stud Stakes. She has the advantage over Babouche of Newmarket experience. Maybe Babouche could be going to the well a few times, but then again, she did beat Whistlejack at the last time. But I'm going to go for Lake Victoria to win again. That is my pick for the free-to-air section in Make Mine a Double J.
She's been a cracking, brilliant, brilliant race at Newmarket. We'll talk about the second half.
Okay, this is the Racing Pod on Off the Ball. If you're listening to the free version of the podcast, we're leaving you here. But if you're looking for more, including our look to Saturday's action at Newmarket, go to offtheball.com/join to subscribe and get the full podcast with all of our racing tips, insights and stories from the week's action.
The Racing Pod
on Off the Ball
with William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.